We're talking about prayer, and I'm approaching it from this thought of prayer as identity, that when we understand our identity, then we begin to understand prayer in a greater level. That prayer is not something we just do, but it's who we are. It's our identity in Christ. And I'm going to share real honest with you. I try every week, but I'm going to share real honest with you that it was a hard week this last week. And thankfully, God is teaching me about this as well. It started about July or August. This phrase came to my heart, and I was doing my devotion, sitting in the chairs in the morning, have my Bible out. I journal usually pretty much every day, or I read a book, and this thought came to my mind, stay in faith. And honestly, the mental picture was in the first Star Wars movie where they're attacking the Death Star, and they're being attacked, and the leader says, stay in formation. That, you know, I'm a visual person. He died, but anyways, he stayed in formation. Okay, it's just like, stay in faith. And I wasn't sure what that meant. I wasn't really sure what was going on in my heart, so I begin to look into this, and I realized that, and I don't know if you can identify with this, that there are points of the day, there are points of I'll hear something, I'll see something, I'll trigger, and my mind will go into the what if question. So what if, and I begin to play out scenarios in my head, like what if this happens, then well if this happens, then I'll need to do this, this, and this, and if this happens, I'll need to do that, and I'll be like what if, and I'll try to play out scenarios to take control of what if may happen. I don't know about y'all, but I've come to this conclusion, I'm a bit of a control freak. Anybody else would please just say, hi, Mike, I'm a control freak. Come on, let's do a little, you know, hi, Mike, I'm a control freak too, right? Right? And the father began, in the summer, began talking to me about, it's not, Mike, not in your mind you play out the what-if scenarios. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to know what I say about situations. What do I say about this? So this began this whole subject on prayer that for me I've been on since, well, before really intentionally about July or August, which is now our time together. So I want you to go with me to 1 John chapter 5. John wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, all about the same time. So when you read 1 John specifically, you see a lot of reference to the Gospel of John. But we are talking about prayer's identity, and it's not what if, it's what does God say about our lives. So in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. You guys okay this morning? Man, you guys are amazing. Dearly, dearly loved. 1 John chapter 5. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now let me just take a moment here. That you may know that you have eternal life. There's a contrast that John gives here that's different than John chapter 17, where Jesus said, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ. When Jesus and John records in 17, when Jesus said that, he says this is eternal life, that you may know the Father. That word means to have a living contact and not imparted information. So if I were to impart to you, what's 1 + 1? Well, it's 2. I know that. It's imparted information. That's not what Jesus was saying in John 17. He said that he wants us to have a living contact with the Father. But the word he uses here is different for the word know. And this word means to be aware of. Why is that important? Let me explain it this way. It's like you're trying to explain something to someone and they're just not getting it. And as you're talking to them, they might use this phrase. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Oh, I see what you mean, that they come to this understanding because now they see it. So when John wrote in John 17, he wants us to have a living contact with God. It's not a knowledge of a head that he's real, he's the big guy upstairs, Jesus died. We have this knowledge, but we have this living contact with him. And so John is writing to those people who are already at that place of having a living contact with Jesus. And he says, now I'm writing to you, now I want you to know, I want you to say, oh, I see this, that I have eternal life. What that life means is not that I'm just going to heaven, but I have an eternal life here on earth because of my relationship with God. And then he goes on to say, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. Now, this is the word about know what God says versus what ifs. Confidence means without reservation, with frankness, with full and open speech. That when we come to prayer with God, when we approach God, do we come with a confidence because we see it? We are his kids. He loves us. He is on our side. Do we see this so that when we talk to him, our prayers are not kind of, God, if you can, I hope you can. Oh boy, just pray you can. But you have this confidence to the point where you are frank, you're outspoken, and you have great confidence in your prayers. How do we have that? John tells us. He says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Pause. John is not saying if you pray something that is not God's will, that God is going, la, 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 I'm not listening. He's not saying that if we say something outside of his will, that God ignores us. What he's saying is that God hears the cry of the heart. Someone say amen to that. But confidence doesn't come just because we pray. Confidence comes because we know his will. Can somebody just say, yeah. Because we know his will, that's what that thought was. Mike, don't play what-if scenarios in your head. Know what I say about those scenarios. Know what I have already said in my word concerning those scenarios. And then it goes on, John says, and if we know, here's that word, I'm aware, oh, I see it now. We know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Do we see that? Are we aware of that? The word confidence is also found in a couple other places. Would you turn with me? If you're new to your Bible, if you're not sure where things are found, we're going to go to the left, okay? So go left. Well, that's your right. Go left, okay? We're going to go back to the left to a book called Hebrews. So go left. You'll find James in front of that. And we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 4. And then we're going to end up in John chapter 15. We got two more verses before we get there. So in Hebrews chapter 4, here's that word confidence, outspokenness, about approaching God with a confidence in prayer. Verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest, he's talking about Jesus, who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So know this, not our topic, but let me just hit this quickly. Temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted. So if you're tempted to disobey God's word, you're not in sin. That's temptation. It's if we choose to act on it. That becomes sin. Now the act of sin comes when we actually do that. And we're going to catch this in just a moment. We're going to come back to this. Verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with, would you say the word with me? Confidence. Say it with me, would you?
Confidence.
Say it confidently. Confidence, right? Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So that what the writers of the scripture is trying to get the people who are in faith with Jesus Christ to see, oh, I get it, I see it, is that you and I do not have to approach God with this, oh God, I hope you can. But because of our identity in him, that he welcomes us to approach him with great outspokenness, great boldness, frankness of speech, right? Anything, but the key to confidence is I know what the Father's heart is. How do you know the Father's heart? He tells us right here. So let me confront a couple things. Man, God, you brought sickness onto my life, and I know you did this as a test. Wrong. How can you pray with confidence to God to heal you if he's the one who brought the sickness? He cannot be tempted by evil. God cannot be evil. God cannot do wrong to make something right. Sickness, does it happen? Absolutely. This is part of the brokenness of humankind. But God does not, oh man, I signed a contract of something that I had purchased, and it says, we will not cover this if this are acts of God. That tornado, it's an act of God. No, God can't do evil. Can he turn it for good? Absolutely, he can. But often, if I'm saying, God, you brought to me sickness, now I'm asking you to heal me, I don't have confidence in this because did he bring it or did he not bring it? When I understand that God won't do this, then I come with confidence knowing that he's my healer, not my provider of sickness. Okay, that's okay. Okay, okay. You can disagree with me. I'm right. You're wrong. That's okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 3. I'm playing. Ephesians chapter 3. Here's where Paul uses that word, and then we're going to get into John chapter 15. Paul is writing in him, we're talking about Jesus, in him, in Jesus, and through faith in Jesus, we may approach with freedom, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with boldness and confidence. What we're looking at during this time of prayer is how confident, well-spoken, freedom, ask, how we are in relationship. That do we see it? Do we understand it? Because we are his children and he loves us. We identify, he says to us, I love you. You're my child. With you, I'm well pleased. That this an identity, we come into this relationship. Now, prayer is not us mealy-mouthing to God saying, I hope you can. But prayer, because we understand who we are in God, who he called us to be, he says, I invite you now to come with boldness and confidence to speak to me whatever's on your heart. But understand, your confidence is also going to come when you understand what I'm saying about situations. So how does this work? Go with me to John chapter 15. Keep going left, everybody. Keep going left. Now, Deb and I have three grandkids, Bennett, Noah, and Simon. What I've noticed specifically about Noah's five. Noah has no trouble being confident in asking. Noah is frank, he's outspoken, and he's very forceful in his asking. And it usually looks like something like this. He comes to our house and he says, Grandma Debbie, I want some milk. And what Jesse and Amy are doing and what we do is this. How do you ask? And you know what they do? Have you noticed the kids? Please. It's not really sincere, but we kind of teach them how to ask, right? But Noah comes, I want some chocolate milk. And it's almost like, now, mister, right? How do you ask? Please. And then you kind of give it to him and then pull it back. What do you say? Everybody, would you respond? Exactly. We've all done this, haven't we? Thank you. Right? What I have noticed over time and being around different kind of environments, some people say, well, kids are naturally selfish. And okay, I'll give you that. But I have noticed that children who are in an unhealthy relationship, whoever cares for them, they don't ask with confidence. They're fearful. They're not assured. They don't have confidence that what they're asking for will be granted. The other thing I've noticed about kids in an unhealthy family relationship or whoever's caring for them, that over a period of time, they stop asking and they become self-sufficient. I've seen kids at a very young age have to grow up and be responsible for things they shouldn't have to be responsible for. Why? Because there's not a loving relationship for them to be able to be confident to ask. And what I've discovered, listen to me closely, I've been in ministry for a long time now. I'm that old guy now. I've made it. I look pretty good for an old guy. Anyways, what I've noticed in people's prayer life is that if they are not confident in their relationship with the Father, they're fearful to ask. They're not sure. They have difficulty staying in faith when it comes to situations. And listen to me for a moment, and I'm going to try to expand this point. We become really self-sufficient in our walk with God, and we only bother him with those big things that we can't control. In the day-to-day, I got this, I got this, I got this. But then when life gets difficult, oh God, oh God. And we're not praying really with confidence, we're praying with desperation. And there could be other avenues with that. But what I have discovered, when you're in a healthy relationship with the Father, your prayers are way different. So in John chapter 15, the life of Jesus, in fact, go back to 14. Jesus made this promise. He says in John 14:12, I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me shall do what I have been doing. In fact, greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. And then in verse 13, he says, you may ask me for anything in my name and I shall do it, that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Jesus, who cannot lie, I tell you the truth. Jesus' promise is so that we have confidence in prayer. Jesus, listen with just for a moment. He was not giving us a formula to answered prayer. He's teaching and demonstrating how his love relationship with the Father helped him or enabled him to stay in faith with his Father no matter what. Jesus had to empty himself of his godhood. Philippians chapter 2 says that though he was God, he removed all that what he carried into the body. He removed it and submitted to God, and he had to live just like we lived on earth. Without sin, I get it. He was God, but he had to live just like we lived. So Jesus had to learn how to obey his Father. He had to learn how to love his Father. He had to learn how to stay in faith with his Father no matter what was going on. And now in these verses, in chapter 14, 15, and 16, he is telling us, for a better word, he's telling the secret of how he remained in faith with his father while he walked on earth. And he says, what I have been doing, you can do this as well. In John 14, 31, and we'll get to John 15, he says this, but the world must learn that I love the Father and I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. What is he doing? Jesus is in a love relationship with his Father, stayed in faith that no matter what came his way, he never deviated and said, I'm going to take control of this now because I don't like where it's going. Jesus constantly stayed in this position and posture of faith because he was in a love relationship with his dad. And now he says, I'm going to invite you into that same love relationship so that you and I can stay in faith no matter what goes on around us. How do we do it? John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus says, here's a clause, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. If you remain in me, John 15, 7, it's this abide, stay present, be with me. And let's stay in a life-giving relationship. And my rhema stays in you. You can ask whatever you wish. Jesus is telling us, dear ones, the power and the authority we carry as we stay in a loving relationship with the Father, that you and I can have the same confidence in prayer that Jesus had with his dad. What? Are you kidding me? No. That you and I have the same authority, you and I have the same power, you and I can do the same things and even greater things. Now, this might mean greater in number, or it might mean this. Peter is walking down a street and the power of God is on him and people are laying sick people along the road and his shadow would touch them. Jesus never did that. It was greater than what Jesus did. Paul is working, making a tent, and he's like, whew, it's hot. And somebody had the idea, I don't know if even thought of this, let's take his sweaty handkerchief, go put it on demonized people and see what happens. So they take his sweaty brow, and they throw it on a demon person, and it goes, comes out. Jesus never did that. Oh, there's so much more, gang. How did he do this? If you remain in me, my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and I'll be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me with the same intensity, with the same passion, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. How do I remain in your love? If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. So how did Jesus stay in this love relationship? How did he maintain this faith? Because he obeyed the Father because he loved the Father. He loved his dad. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you obey what I command. See, he's getting into this real practical way. How do you and I love the Father? We do it through obedience. Why is that so important? Listen to me. That too often when we are in our relationship with God, if things are not going the way we think it should go, we begin to step out of faith, step out of love and say, I got to take control of this. That happened to me this week. This week I got... If it was one thing, okay. If it was two things, okay. But it was three things, like, are you kidding me? And I'm going to be honest with you. I got really angry. Not at y'all, not at this, but promises that God has made this church that keeps getting delayed. And I'm starting to what if in my mind. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to start making some phone calls. And I told Josh Layton, one of the person I want to talk with, I said, here's my thinking. I'm going to invite them to my office and I'm going to say these words. I am praying right now. And if you're lying to me, I am discerning that. And God's going to get you with boils. You can ask my wife. I was ticked. I was angry. In fact, I could step out of it real fast right now. I could just go there real quick, right? Oh God. Yeah, maybe I'm still angry. Shut up. So Thursday, okay, I usually have about two or three sermons in my head already, and I just put them down on Thursday. So I call my brother and I call my friend. I go, I need you to pray for me right now because I am finishing up my thoughts for Sunday. And if you don't pray for me and I get this under control, I'm sending everybody in our church to hell. I am. And I don't care. It's hard when a pastor's mad, not a good time to preach, right? It's just like, I don't care. Can anybody relate? I mean, is it? I'm going to take control of this thing. I'm going to get something happening because I don't like what's taking place. But look what Jesus says. This is what caught me and it just drew me up on Thursday. He says, if you obey my command, you will remain in my love just as I've obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And I realized something. There was no joy in Mudville. And I discovered I might be able to get things done. I might be able to get things done the way I want it, but it wasn't in faith I was operating. Romans 14:23 says, whatever is not done by faith is sin. Think about that for a moment. So when the Bible says that Jesus without sin, oh, he didn't get drunk, he didn't sleep around, he didn't cuss people out, but we didn't think about this. He never once took control of his own life and sinned by disobeying his father and doing what he wanted. Think about how often, dear ones, where the pressures of life hit, things aren't moving the way we want, in a time we want, well, then I better do something about it. And you say, well, Mike, God's not going to get up and go to work for me. Exactly, he won't. We are to move, but if we're not doing it by faith, if we're not doing with the evidence of joy in that, we got to pause and rethink this. Are we doing this for us? Are we doing this in obedience to the love of the Father? The Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He's trying to grow us in our faith. The author, the beginner of it, and the perfecter, the maturing of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. You see, Jesus' strength came from a joy that helped him endure the cross. This joy is not like, oh man, put the crown of thorns. Ha ha, thank you. Another stripe? Yes, I love it. This, we think of joy like everything's happy, happy, happy. Jesus, he endured the pain and the shame and the pressure and the weight of sin of the world. He endured it, and he was never once going, ha-ha, I love it. This is not joy. This joy is a calm delight. It's this assurance of faith that no matter what, my love for the Father is greater than the suffering I'm going through. So if you are doing something and there's no joy in it, maybe you need to step back from it and say, Lord, am I doing this in my own strength or am I doing this in faith? See, Jesus had opportunities to step out into his own way. People all the time kept challenging him, do this, do this, do this, prove yourself. Jesus never once. Why? Because he only did what the Father told him to do. Why? I love my dad. And he walked in joy. And now he invites you, as the Father has loved me, I'm going to love you. The same measure, the same intensity, the same passion. The Father loves you. I'm loving you the same way. Stay in my love. Remain in my love. Why? So that whatever you ask, the Father will do. See, we're surrendering ourselves and our lives to the will of the one who loves us. We're trusting. So right now I could step out of joy so quickly as I begin to think of the injustice that's taking place. How do you remain in love? You obey the command. So I had to forgive. I had to release. Why? It's staying in that place of faith. Stay in faith, Mike. Don't break rank. Don't start taking things. I'm going to be in control now. I'm going to take this over. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. Okay, Jesus, take the wheel. Wait, he should have had the wheel the first time. It's not like, I got this. Oh, there's a big mountain. Okay, it's yours. It's like, Lord, it's yours. And you work all things together for the good. And I'm going to trust you because that's what belief is. I trust you. I have faith. I have confidence. I'm persuaded. We're going to stay in that posture. Why? And Jesus said, this is how I lived. I'm going to show you how now you can live the same way. And what is the evidence of it? There is joy in answered prayer. And we'll get that to John chapter 16, where Jesus equates answered prayer to a joyous living. Y'all okay? Yeah. It was Hebrews 12. I might have said Hebrews 4. It's Hebrews 12. And this is it. Would you read with me some more? Verse 12. And this is going to launch us, get us set up for next week. My command, say my command. My command. My command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an idea. It's not a thought. My command is this. Love each other as I've loved you. So you obey my commands. All the commands of Jesus are based on one foundational command, love. Romans chapter 12, Paul says, all the commands, don't commit adultery, don't commit murder, don't steal, all these commands, whatever the command is based on this one command, love your neighbor as yourself, because love does no harm to its neighbor. So we don't have 10 commandments and we don't have 500 commands. We've got one command that everything is based on, love. So what's Jesus trying to teach us? Everything he did was the love of his Father and the love for people. Everything he did was about, I'm going to obey my Father. Now, when people are asking me to do something outside of my love for the Father, I can't do that because my love of the Father is greater than my love for you. Now, as I love him, though, I'm going to influence you in love so that now I can influence you toward the love of the Father because this is my first love. This is my other's love. But I can't love him and hate you. I can't love him and say, I don't love you at all. My command is, as I've loved you, love each other. So right now, you are loving people to the degree you're being loved by Jesus. Three things this week. Racka, fracka, knacka, whacka, lacka, blacka, jacka, brusha, brusha, ha, ha. And it wasn't tongues. I'm telling you that much right now. Okay? They are not the issue. They are not the problem. I needed more love. I confessed it to Pastor Jeff. Confessed it. I confess it to you all right now. They are not the problem. Father, I need you to expand my heart to love these people, because your command is, as you loved me, I am to love. And guess what happened later on in the week? It was joy unspeakable and full of, right? Joy was attendant because of love. And Paul says this. I know I'm kind of all over the map, but Paul says this. These three remain. These three things are eternal. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. So we know that Jesus is always working in faith, hope, and love. He's always developing faith, hope, and love. What happened when I reached this place of where now I'm not angry, now I'm not going to pray boils on them, I'm not, right? Now I was praying in the situation with joy, which is my evidence that God is answering my prayer. Stay in faith. Stay in faith. Stay in faith. Just stay in faith. Stay in faith. Nothing's changed. Stay in faith. It's getting worse. Stay in faith. Well, what if? Don't go with the what if. Go with what has God said. Faith comes by hearing his word. Not what if the scenarios, what if this happens? What if the vote goes wrong? What if we don't get, stop it. Just stop it. What has God said? Stay there. Don't weird out about who's going to be in charge of the government. Come on. We live in a kingdom. We need to do what's right. We need to vote. But come on, guys, get off Facebook, please. And your opinions. Someone needs to write there. I'm praying for them all. If you don't have joy about it, stop and get joy and then go after it. Okay, I just stepped on toes. I got it. I just offended somebody. Well, now you get to work on forgiveness toward me. Thank you. Stay in faith. Don't take control of your life. It's not moving fast enough. I don't like where it's going, so I'm going to start controlling situations. Stop. Whatever's not done by faith is sin. How do I know I'm in faith? You get his joy. Okay, stand with me if you would. Say these words with me, would you? Stay in faith.
Stay in faith.
Picture it in your mind. Stay in faith. Say it again. Stay in faith. Say it again. Stay in faith.
Stay in faith.
What if questions? Well, what if this happens? Stay in faith. What if this doesn't change? What if I lose my job? Stay in faith. Because too often we want to take control again. I will be in control of this. No, stay in faith. Stay at this place of a love relationship with the Father. How do I know I'm in a love relationship with the Father? There's this inexplicable joy that I'm dealing with, even in the midst of trauma. There's, I don't know if Marcia's here this morning, Marcia Brandon. She's had breast cancer. And Deb and I sat with her and Larry for about 30, 40 minutes. And she's smiling and laughing as she's talking about her radiation. And I'm going, you are the weirdest cancer patient I have ever met in my life. Are you sure you have cancer? Yeah, I do, but God is, I mean, it's like she's staying in faith. It's a beautiful, you need to hear her story, because she's laughing and going, oh, and God is, and God did this. And this one guy said, I don't believe in God. And I said, oh, yes, you do. And it's like, what in the world is going on right now? Stay in faith. Don't take control. Because if we take control, we're now moving into sin. We're not moving in love and obedience. Stay in faith. Tell me this morning to say, hey, Mike, I want to stay in faith. Come on, just lift your hand. Come on, just stay in faith. Come on. I want you to pray for someone next to you. And I want you to release that over your life. You may have never done this before. You might, I don't know how to pray. All you have to do is say, God, help them stay in faith. That's all you have to do, right? It doesn't have to be long. But would you turn to someone right now, and would you just bless them and just say, Lord, just let them stay in faith. Would you do that right now? Come on, do that. Just, Lord, let them stay in faith. Just pray. So, Father, we thank you for your love for us. It's not by our efforts and our works. It's by your grace.
Yes.
And Lord, we get to choose taking every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. We get to choose if we're going to stay in faith. You've given us that authority and power. And Lord, it's not through imparted knowledge. It's through a love connection where we can say, oh, I see it. I see what you mean now. And Father, everyone here is loved by you. And I pray for anyone here who is wrestling with that I want to be in control. I want to take over. I got to get this done. Lord, yeah, but it's Jesus, you did a lot, but it's always in obedience to a love relationship with your Father. You accomplished a lot in 3.5 years, more than what many will do in a lifetime. But it's not because you set out and had your agenda, is that you loved a love relationship with your Father. You did what he said, and in that, man, marvelous. To this day, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it. And Jesus, let us be people of prayer, which means that confidence that comes by staying in faith, that place where we know what you're saying about a situation, so we're not moved by externals, but we are moved only by your love for us. And Lord, how do we know that it's true? Joy. Joy is our portion. You said, I will give you my joy, and your joy will be mature and complete and whole. So Father, let us just evaluate. Let us take a look, really, when we're facing challenges, is there joy there or is there control there? Let us see if there's joy there or we get worried or fretful. Then, Lord, let us go back to faith. For whoever believes in me will do what I have been doing. And this is the confidence we have in prayer. So, Lord, let us be those people who are confident because we know what you're saying in situations. And we also, in such a love relationship with you, that we don't freak out. We're in joy. And thank you, Jesus, that the worst possible thing that could happen, the crucifixion, it was the most evil, degrading, awful thing that could happen to a human being. And the writer says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Thank you, you gave us that extreme example of love and joy so that we can face whatever we're facing with joy. We bless you, and I bless my family today. I thank you for them. Lord, release healing on their lives because that's your will. Release grace on their lives because that's your will. And Father, if anyone here who's not assured of a relationship with them, it's not your will that any should depart from you or perish, but all have everlasting life. I pray for it. That's your will. Let them see it. Let them go, I get it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, bless somebody and you go home. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock. We got service tonight. Come and join with us.